Hello everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It's I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and frontman. This week, I'm bringing you a four-state Comic-Con retrospective episode. I know some of you are out there going, oh dear God, not another retrospective episode, and it's a Walking Dead episode at that. But with everything going on personally and worldwide, I figured it's better to post up a retrospective than nothing at all. And so that being said, you're going to hear two interviews that we got back in roughly late April, maybe early May 2016. And the original episode was posted up in May 23rd, 2016. So either way, it was 4 years ago that these episodes were put up. And the interviews were from Dahlia Legat, who played Francine, and Jeremy Ambler, who played a walker in a couple of episodes. Now, the first interview you're going to hear is from Dahlia herself. And according to IMDb, she played Francine. But not only does it say she played Francine in like season 5, but a few episodes in season 6 and season 6, season 7, and season 8. And I don't remember her seeing her in season 6, 7, and 8. And as a matter of fact, we kind of spoke about that in her interview in regards to, at that time, season 6. Why haven't we seen her in a while? And she said, well, she's technically there, but she's not really there because she wasn't killed off or written off the show. But one of the things, because at this time, we were predicting what happened at the season 6 ender, the season finale. At that point, Negan, I think his name is, kind of got the group together, and he was kind of choosing who he was going to get hit with the bat. And oddly enough, me and Dahlia kind of predicted who was going to get hit. Now, granted, in shows like this, someone like Dahlia is kind of not allowed to tell who is going to be leaving the show, especially after. And I honestly believe she really didn't know, because I didn't get any signs that she knew. But we kind of correctly predicted it because of what happened at the start of season 7. Now, again, IMDb doesn't always accurately, I don't want to say that now. The reason why I say that is I honestly believe she wasn't in the episodes listed, even though in last week's episode, Rusty Gilligan stated that in his experience and his knowledge, IMDb with its connections have been accurate. But in my experience, as in our conversation in last week's episode, there may still be mistakes floating around as much as IMDb is trying to correct those mistakes. So, that being said, I want you to hear this episode. Here is Dahlia Legat, her interview, our conversation, and so forth and so on. So, here it is. Hello, everyone. I'm here with...
Hi, I am Dahlia Legat, and I play Francine on The Walking Dead.
We're at the 4-State Retro Pop Culture and Comic-Con on Saturday, April the 30th. It's an honor to meet you. Dahlia, right?
Yeah.
As you said, you were part of The Walking Dead. What other project, before we dive into The Walking Dead, what other projects are you doing right now that, if you want to promote, you can promote right now?
Well, absolutely. There is a new show on the CW called Containment. Same kind of an idea, a viral outbreak happens in a city, and so they decide to quarantine part of the city with all the people who have been infected. So I will be taking part of that this summer. I believe it plays on Thursday nights on the CW, and I play one of the women who works for the government there. So yeah, there's that coming up.
To promote that a little bit more, that way CW can't really say you're not doing your job. Is there any more you could tell us about how you were picked for that role or any?
You know, everything in the, especially within the Southeast, is pretty textbook. You know, everyone just has an agent. Pretty funny enough, actually, now that we have the World Wide Web going for us. I just went on tape in the city I live in. It was sent into production, and production just picked me out of everybody. And so then I get a call directly from Los Angeles saying that, you know, I'll be shipped to Atlanta and start filming with them. So
Now to walk with, I won't say walk, but wander over to the Walking Dead. You played one of the cohorts with, I won't say everybody's most loved character, everybody likes Daryl, but I want to say the second most loved redhead on the show. What was it like being on that show?
I would say The Walking Dead is definitely the most difficult work that I've ever done, and it continues to be that way because there's really nothing glamorous about it. You get to a set that's outdoors, either it's 19 degrees cold or it's 98 degrees hot, and you're working for 12 to 16 hours in these conditions. And you're running around and you're climbing things, and by the end of the day you can barely move, but it's great experience that way anyhow.
Did you have any, working for The Walking Dead, did you have any restrictions in reference to what you could say or couldn't say?
Oh, definitely. You sign a very, very serious non-disclosure agreement, and so even when I got onto the show, I couldn't even tell. I think I told my mother and my sister about it, but then I couldn't tell absolutely anybody else that I was taking part in it whatsoever until the episode aired, which was about 5 to 6 months after I filmed the episode.
So it wasn't like, hey, I'm on Walking Dead, and come check out the show.
Absolutely not. I had to keep it from everybody. And it's you know, of course, once the episode aired, then, you know, everything blows up and, you know, all your friends are coming at you and all this kind of stuff. But I would say for good reason they keep it from the entire public. But at the same time, yeah, it's kind of hard to not share your joy and excitement with the people that you know and the people that you love, you know.
I know there, through rumors that there is a zombie school, but did you do anything to prepare for your role?
Other than basic acting training that, you know, I do have a degree in theater and so, like, those things. But honestly, Francine has not been killed yet. She is not a zombie. I have not experienced that just yet. No, other than my basic acting training, that's about all the prep that went into it. Yeah, I was going to go somewhere else. I can't remember where I was going to go.
That's the thing. I should have rewatched the season that you were predominantly in, but I don't remember you getting killed off in any way. Did you? Was the character just wandered off to the sunset?
It's very bizarre, again, because we're not allowed to say everything, anything, and production doesn't tell you anything either. Francine is still present all throughout season 6. She's not very active. She's not very active. She doesn't, you know, she doesn't have a lot of lines. She doesn't really do much around season 6, but they did not bother to kill her off. So
in essence, you're wandering around somewhere.
In essence, I'm wandering around somewhere. Alexandria is not destroyed, so if they go back to Alexandra, maybe she'll have more substance within season 7, but they have not told me anything, so I have just as much of an idea as everybody else does, which is absolutely nothing.
I know you would hate... I don't want to say that you're a second stringer character-wise, but would you like to see your character more predominantly in the show?
Oh, absolutely, of course. I mean, I would say that, like, sometimes it gets, you know, it gets a little frustrating where it's, I ask myself, you know, like, well, what are they doing with her, you know? Especially if they didn't choose to kill her off in season 6, it means they must be trying to do something with her, right? I mean, I don't know. So, of course, I would love nothing more than become, you know, an official recurring or regular character on The Walking Dead. That's what I've been hoping from the minute I got booked. So, but again, you know, it's all up in the air.
Do you since you're still considered part of the show, have you kept up with the show, or do you watch yourself?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It's kind of funny because I started watching The Walking Dead just as, you know, some prep to see what kind of shows I would be auditioning for ever since moving to the Southeast. You know, Vampire Diaries shoots in Atlanta. The original shoots in New Orleans. What is the other one called? Can't remember. There's about like 5 or 6 other shows that shoot within the Southeast. So it's always a good idea to start watching the shows that you would be auditioning for. So I started watching The Walking Dead, and funny enough, I just became a rip-roaring, obsessed fan with it, as most other people do. And then about 3 months after me just starting to watch a show, I was booked onto the show. So I do keep up with it. I keep up with it also because whenever I get onto set and I'm doing work there, they don't give me the script for the entire episode. I don't get to read the entire episode when I go and do work on set. So I have no idea what's happening episode to episode, even though I've taken part in a fragment of the episode.
I think that's, I won't say standard, but me being old school, I'm not going to ask you your age. That's standard. You don't ask, one of the major rules, you don't ask a woman her age. That me being a fan of different genres over the years, hearing various actresses and actresses say, oh, they don't give me the end of the script because I'm a chattermouth.
Yes.
The
yes.
chattermouth.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So that being said, because you're keeping track, do you have any theories on who bit the bucket? I'm not going to say, do you know,
No. You know what?
But do you have any theories on who bit the bucket?
So I don't know. And actually, I don't think the rest of the cast does either. You know, they do start shooting again next week. So I'm sure everybody will find out soon enough. Or the rest of the cast will find out soon enough. But when I was talking to people at other Walker Stalker cons, none of those larger actors knew who they were going to kill off either. So, do I have my theory? My theory is that it's still going to be Glenn. That's my theory.
That's what I'm in hearing. That's it's Glenn. Theory. Some say it's Rick. Some say...
It's definitely... They're not killing Rick off. Rick is the backbone of that show. Even though he's not the most likable character anymore. Even though he's not the most, you know, I would say right now, Daryl... beats
level.
Daryl beats everybody. Actually, Carol now is beating Rick in a lot of stasises, and then I think Abraham as well. But you kill Rick off, the show doesn't exist anymore. So
I've been hearing one fan theory that I heard is that it's someone based on, they actually drew up a map of where the RV and everybody's kneeling. Have you seen that?
That it's, I didn't bother reading.
Somebody completely different than what's the people there. It's like, oh, it's someone else that's kneeling that you don't see because of the tree line.
What?
Yeah.
No. Wait, so not one of the main...
It's not one of the main cast. It's someone else.
No, I don't. I think somebody main definitely dies. Somebody dies every season.
Someone major.
Somebody major dies every mid-season. And then granted, this is the first year that they didn't kill somebody off in season, or they did not show who was killed off in the season finale. So somebody definitely, I think they would cheat everybody out dramatically if it wasn't somebody predominant.
The thing is, my thoughts are, what if it's Maggie? Because she's...
Her being pregnant, I think, would have far too much
repercussions.
Yes. I think that would be far too... what's the word I'm looking for? Just...
too troublesome. And I've also thought it was Rick, too, because of how...
It would surprise me, but again, I think if you take Rick out, the whole show will just crumble. You know, I think I would say, you know what? What if it's Carol? You know what? The fact that she was about to leave.
Yeah.
You know? She's about to leave.
That would be a decent twist.
That would be a decent twist because it'd be devastating to everybody.
That's right.
It would be a WTF to everybody. But
if Carol gets it, I'll state right here that M. Night, you got to pay attention. That's how you do a twist, right?
Yes, I agree. Yeah, so no, let's go with that. I'm changing my mind.
That it's, Carol. Carol steps up and says, let me take
you
the one vote.
You leave, man. That makes the most
with
sense.
With her moral
thing and changing everything, that's when you know someone's going to get it. Don't you think?
Well, Rick also kind of became, what's his name? Like how everybody said, his wife and the one, his partner had an affair, and he became the dominant, you know, I don't want to say prick, but that's what he became. Now, Rick is becoming that, almost that level of a prick, that he's also doing that personality change, even though he's the backbone.
But he's done a bunch of personality changes, don't you find? You know, he went from a hero, and then after his wife died, that he kind of lost his mind. And then getting into Alexandra, he almost, you know, I think Alexandra, when they first got in there, and he just became extremely, he became, you know, an a-hole. He became an absolute a-hole. And, like, I actually started to dislike Rick quite a bit when he first got into Alexandria. You know, I think it was episode 515, where Michonne had to, like, punch him in the side of the head in the last 2 seconds of the show. Do you not remember that?
I think so.
Yeah, he's about to shoot, what's his name? Jess's husband. He's about to shoot, and then Michonne comes and like punches him in the side of the head, and then he's like tied up. You know, there was a minute where he had to be
Kind of taken down.
But now he's come back around. You know, him and Michonne have a nice relationship going on, which was surprising to everybody, but I think I don't know. I'm like, okay, well, that's cool. That's okay.
I think at that point, I was like, when you see his son kind of almost walk in, it's like, dude, it's the zombie apocalypse. You got to find some sort of hookup. Even now, you're kind of finding a hookup yourself. Go at it, you know?
Yeah.
Take what you can get.
Yeah.
But some minor characters seem to have taken the bucket this past season. Do you think they could have pulled that off with us to have a minor character?
Well, definitely. I would say the most minor character who was in that group of people would probably be Aaron.
Aaron's the nerdy, awkward one, right?
Aaron was the one who was the scout who went and found them and brought them to Alexandria.
I'm thinking it might be that nerdy, kind of awkward guy as well, too, because he handed over the bullet recipe. He's been kind of stepping up as the main character. You want?
Oh, you mean Eugene?
Eugene.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. I mean,
it could be almost anyone.
It could be almost anyone. But I think for them to really, I think they're going to put a punch in everyone's face.
How many fans do you see that, even though it might be, let's say, they take out Carol, and half the fan, you know, fandoms, you're a guest at Walk of Soccer, you're a guest here, you hear the fans, I think it might be Rick, I think it might be Eugene, I think it might be Daryl. Long shot, but, you know, but at the end, when next season starts, let's say it's Carol. I knew all along. Do you see that a lot?
I mean, yes. I would say, I haven't been to, like, a Walker Stalker or a Comic-Con. Well, actually, I'm lying about that. So, when Glenn was underneath the dumpster, that whole thing ensued, where everybody was like, is Glenn dead or not? So, yes, there's a lot of people who come back, and there's a lot of theories that are discussed at these events. A lot of theories. And sometimes, you know, you're talking to a person for 10 or 15 minutes about what is it's going to happen, or what it is they thought that was going to happen, and what they thought it was that should have been done. But
Speaking of shows, what was your first show experience being in touch with the fans and so forth?
It was the Walker Stalker that happened Halloween in Atlanta last year. So that was my first one. and pretty crazy. I will say, because Francine is a minor character, you know, I didn't have as much as a turnout as you know, the main people. But it was still great to, like, you know, to communicate with, you know, like, fans, and I communicate on a very, like, one-to-one level with everybody. You know, I have conversations with them, as opposed to the other people who don't have time. You know, all the other people have time for is just to sign the autograph and just, like, you know, get people in and out of line. So it's very cool. I would say what I like the most, though, about these large conventions is actually hanging out with the other people who are working the convention. You know, my celebrity managers, the people, you know, the people who run the Fan Fest and the Walker Stalker Con. Those are my favorite people. I consider these people my best friends now. You know, the other people I get to meet, you know. I got to share a traveling fan with Robert Englund at the last one I was at. Robert Englund talked my ear off for like 15 minutes about Penny Dreadful and all this kind of, you know, so it's these other people that I'm meeting that's
what he's one of the major celebrities I still like to meet because of he was a guest on Mad TV many, many years ago. I still want to meet him and go, how many people have come up to you and said, I liked you in V? Because he's one of those who's most recognized for Freddy and so forth. But we're here to talk about you. Have you done other stuff other than the new CW show and Walking Dead?
Other than TV and film gigs, not just yet. I would say that most of my career has been in theater. So I think I might actually be returning to more theatrical events within the next year. Just because I miss it. It's a completely different vibe, a completely different art form, and I miss it quite a bit. So I think I'll be returning to do some theater within the Northeast.
To take a break and
kind of recenter, kind of, I don't know, find my roots again, you know? Yeah, I would say, and to me, like, my TV work hasn't been consistent, unfortunately. So, and I'm starting to just miss my work. So, probably going to go back.
From what I hear, a lot of people who work in the theater, it's a great way to hone their craft and so forth. Do you find that too as well?
I mean, yes, but I would say it's just completely different. You know, you have a storyline that has, you know the beginning of end of every single one, and I would say that to me, it's just as professional as anything else. You know, I think if you go to like Los Angeles, a lot of people do theater, but only because they're trying to get more, you know, more face time within the film and TV industry. But I think it's its own business. It's completely own business. You go to Chicago and you go to New York and there are certain actors who have no interest in doing television or film. No interest, you know.
If a role came off across your desk that might interest you, would you do like a major movie or?
Oh, of course, absolutely. You know, if it was offered to me, of course. I mean, of course, I'd have to read the script and see who I'd be working with. But of course, but it's more of a thing where you know, the consistency with the work is a hard thing to come by within TV and film, as opposed to theater, where, you know, you could start, you know, a theater show and do it for an entire year consistently.
Even though I've never done a theater performance, I hear it can be a little bit tough because it's the same thing day in, day, almost the same thing day in. It gets a little bit tiresome to some people.
I could say that sometimes it can get monotonous, yes, but at the same time, the nice thing about theater is that you get the opportunity to do something different with it every single night, you know, and it's never, you'll never do the performance the same way because it's live. You'll never do it the same way at any two performances.
Well, I'm willing to say you can't really be a part of Hairspray and come out on stage and go, Oklahoma, you know.
But you
can get in trouble.
Well, I mean, I don't do musicals. Musicals might be a little different, but like within you know, straight theater, what happens is that you're reacting off of the audience that you have, and especially let's say you're doing comedy. Let's say you're doing like Neil Simon, right? You do it one night and people are laughing every 5 minutes, and then you do it the second night and for some reason nobody is laughing at all. Somehow that will start to affect that the way that you're you know, the way you're performing, the way you're reacting, you know, the way that you and your other actor friends are on stage. Sometimes you and the other actor on stage, even though you're saying the lines, you're communicating to one another in some sort of a strange way, like, you know, hey, we need to do something here. Or then sometimes you have a person who misses
especially
a line.
Especially if it's a comedy.
That, you know, yeah. And so
you begin the aspect, is my timing off?
And then, like, you know, this whole thing starts, and because it's live, it's just, and you can't stop, you know. It's not like film or TV where you're like, oh, sorry, cut, let me do that again. You know, I mean, it's not that you have like a million takes to do. You don't have that in TV or film. You know, sometimes the most you get is three. So if you don't get it right the first time, you know, you're not doing your job right. But the same, you know, simultaneously, theater, you don't have that option whatsoever. Whatsoever. If you don't do it right the first time, then you've just ruined the entire thing for everybody. So.
Well, it looks like the con's trying to get a little bit started up. I'll let you be and have fun with the guests. It's nice speaking to you, and we hope to catch you on the CW this fall, or is it this summer?
It's this summer. I'm not sure it'll... I'm not entirely sure when it is.
Well, either way, we'll keep it on CW, and we'll probably review it on our show when it comes through. So, again, thank you for being on the show, and nice meeting you.
You too.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that conversation that we had with Dahlia Legat back in 2016. If you are a constant watcher of The Walking Dead, I know we got to visit a lot of episodes on Netflix, if it's still on Netflix, because we've been busy over the past couple of years, and we've been neglecting the show on Netflix when the seasons have dropped. But if you wish to join the conversation in regards to what Dahlia said back in 2016, please email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com or leave a comment down on the pinned post on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com, The Long Coat Mafia Podcast. And we'll, if the messages are and comments are very entertaining, we will read them on air. If we get a whole crap ton, we will make a special episode about those comments and reply to them as well as an episode. Now, next up is the one, the only, Jeremy Ambler, who played a walker in a couple episodes of The Walking Dead. He talks about the con experience, being a walker, and what he's been doing since then. Now, I did dive into Jeremy's IMDb credits in regards to what he's been doing over the past couple of years, and Jeremy's been way busier than Dahlia. There's nothing against what Dahlia's been doing over the past couple of years, but he's been extremely busy in kind of the indie movie circuit. And either way, I'm going to get down to it. Here is Jeremy's interview that he did with us back in 2016.
Hello, everyone. I'm here with...
Hi, I am Dahlia Legault, and I play Francine on The Walking Dead.
We're at the 4-State Retro Pop Culture and Comic-Con on Saturday, April the 30th. It's an honor to meet you, Dahlia. It's Dahlia, right?
Dahlia. Yeah.
As you said, you were part of The Walking Dead. What other project, before we dive into The Walking Dead, what other projects are you doing right now that, if you want to promote, you can promote right now?
Well, absolutely. There is a new show on the CW called Containment. Same kind of an idea, a viral outbreak happens in a city, and so they decide to quarantine part of the city with all the people who have been infected. So I will be taking part of that this summer. I believe it plays on Thursday nights on the CW, and I play one of the women who works for the government there. So yeah, there's that coming up.
To promote that a little bit more, that way CW can't really say you're not doing your job. Is there any more you could tell us about how you were picked for that role, or...
You know, everything in the, especially within the Southeast, is pretty textbook. You know, everyone just has an agent. Pretty funny enough, actually, now that we have the World Wide Web going for us. I just went on tape in the city I live in. It was sent into production, and production just picked me out of everybody. And so then I get a call directly from Los Angeles saying that, you know, I'll be shipped to Atlanta and start filming with them, so...
Now to walk with, I won't say walk, but wander over to the Walking Dead. You played one of the cohort cohorts with, I won't say everybody's most loved character, everybody likes Daryl, but I would want to say the second most loved redhead on the show. What was it like being on that show?
I would say The Walking Dead is definitely the most difficult work that I've ever done, and it continues to be that way because there's really nothing glamorous about it. You get to a set that's outdoors, either it's 19 degrees cold or it's 98 degrees hot, and you're working for 12 to 16 hours in these conditions. And you're running around and you're climbing things, and by the end of the day you can barely move, but it's a great experience that way anyhow.
Did you have any, working for The Walking Dead, did you have any restrictions in reference to what you could say or couldn't say?
Oh, definitely. You sign a very, very serious non-disclosure agreement, and so even when I got onto the show, I couldn't even tell. I think I told my mother and my sister about it, but then I couldn't tell absolutely anybody else that I was taking part in it whatsoever until the episode aired, which was about 5 to 6 months after I filmed the episode.
So it wasn't like, hey, I'm on Walking Dead, and come check out the show.
Absolutely not. I had to keep it from everybody. And of course, once the episode aired, then, you know, everything blows up and, you know, all your friends are coming at you and all this kind of stuff. But I would say for good reason they keep it from the entire public. But at the same time, yeah, it's kind of hard to not share your joy and excitement with the people that you know and the people that you love, you know.
I know there, through rumors that there is a zombie school, but did you do anything to prepare for your role?
Other than basic acting training that, you know, I do have a degree in theater and so, like, those things. But honestly, Francine has not been killed yet. She is not a zombie. I have not experienced that just yet. No, other than my basic acting training, that's about all the prep that went into it. Yeah, I was going to go somewhere else. I can't remember where I was going to go.
That's the thing. I should have rewatched the season that you were predominantly in, but I don't remember you getting killed off in any way. Did you? Was the character just wandered off to the sunset?
It's very bizarre, again, because we're not allowed to say everything, anything, and production doesn't tell you anything either. Francine is still present all throughout season 6. She's not very active. She's not very active. She doesn't, you know, she doesn't have a lot of lines. She doesn't really do much around season 6, but they did not bother to kill her off. So
in essence, you're wandering around somewhere.
In essence, I'm wandering around somewhere. Alexandria is not destroyed, so if they go back to Alexandria, maybe she'll have more substance within season 7, but they have not told me anything, so I have just as much of an idea as everybody else does, which is absolutely nothing.
I know you would hate... I don't want to say that you're a second stringer character-wise, but would you like to see your character more predominantly in the show?
Oh, absolutely, of course. I mean, I would say that, like, sometimes it gets, you know, it gets a little frustrating where it's, I ask myself, you know, like, well, what are they doing with her, you know? Especially if they didn't choose to kill her off in season 6, it means they must be trying to do something with her, right? I mean, I don't know. And so, of course, I would love nothing more than become, you know, an official recurring or regular character on The Walking Dead. That's what I've been hoping from the minute I got booked. So, but again, you know, it's all up in the air.
Since you're still considered part of the show, have you kept up with the show, or do you watch yourself?
Oh, definitely, definitely. It's kind of funny because I started watching The Walking Dead just as, you know, some prep to see what kind of shows I would be auditioning for ever since moving to the Southeast. You know, Vampire Diaries shoots in Atlanta, the original shoots in New Orleans. What is the other one called? Can't remember. There's about like 5 or 6 other shows that shoot within the Southeast. So it's always a good idea to start watching the shows that you would be auditioning for. So I started watching The Walking Dead, and funny enough, I just became a rip-roaring, obsessed fan with it, as most other people do. And then about 3 months after me just starting to watch a show, I was booked onto the show. So I do keep up with it. I keep up with it also because whenever I get onto set and I'm doing work there, they don't give me the script for the entire episode. I don't get to read the entire episode when I go and do work on set. So I have no idea what's happening episode to episode, even though I've taken part in a fragment of the episode.
I think that's, I won't say standard, but me being old school, I'm not going to ask you your age. That's the standard. You don't ask, one of the major rules, you don't ask a woman her age. That me being a fan of different genres over the years, hearing various actresses and actresses say, oh, they don't give me the end of the script because I'm a chattermouth.
Yes.
The
yes.
chattermouth.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So that being said, because you're keeping track, do you have any theories on who bit the bucket? I'm not going to say, do you know,
but
do you have any theories on who bit the bucket?
You know,
with the...
So I don't know. And actually, I don't think the rest of the cast does either. You know, they do start shooting again next week. So I'm sure everybody will find out soon enough, or the rest of the cast will find out soon enough. But when I was talking to people at other Walker Stalker cons, none of those larger actors knew who they were going to kill off either. So, do I have my theory? My theory is that it's still going to be Glenn. That's my theory.
That's what I'm in hearing. It's Glenn. Theory. Some say it's Rick. Some say...
It's definitely... They're not killing Rick off. Rick is the backbone of that show. Even though he's not the most likable character anymore. Even though he's not the most, you know, I would say right now, Daryl... Daryl beats everybody. Actually, Carol now is beating Rick in a lot of stasises, and then I think Abraham as well. But you kill Rick off, the show doesn't exist anymore. So
I've been hearing one fan theory that I heard is that it's someone based on, they actually drew up a map of where the RV and everybody's kneeling. Have you seen that? That is,
I didn't bother reading.
It's somebody completely different than what's the people there. It's like, oh, it's someone else that's kneeling that you don't see because of the tree line.
What? Yeah. No. Wait, so not one of the main...
It's not one of the main casts. It's someone else.
No, I don't. I think somebody main definitely dies. Somebody dies every season.
Someone major.
Somebody major dies every mid-season. And then granted, this is the first year that they didn't kill somebody off in season, or they did not show who was killed off in the season finale. So somebody definitely, I think they would cheat everybody out dramatically if it wasn't somebody predominant.
The thing is, my thoughts are, what if it's Maggie? Because she's...
Her being pregnant, I think, would have far too much
repercussions.
Yes. I think that would be far too... what's the word I'm looking for? Just...
too troublesome. And I've also thought it was Rick, too, because of how...
It would surprise me, but again, I think if you take Rick out, the whole show will just crumble. You know, I think I would say, you know what? What if it's Carol? You know what? The fact that she was about to leave.
Yeah.
You know, she's about to leave.
That would be a decent twist.
That would be a decent twist because it'd be devastating to everybody.
That's right.
It would be a WTF to everybody. But
if Carol gets it, I'll state right here that M. Night, you got to pay attention. That's how you do a twist, right?
Yes, I agree. Yeah, so no, let's go with that. I'm changing my mind.
It's Carol. Carol steps up
Carol
and says, let me take
you
the one vote.
You believe, man. That makes the most sense.
With her moral...
Her moral thing and changing everything, that's when you know someone's going to get it. Don't you think?
Well, Rick also kind of became... what's his name? Like how everybody said, his wife and his partner had an affair, and he became the dominant, you know, I don't want to say prick, but that's what he became. Now, Rick is becoming that, almost that level of a prick, that he's also doing that personality change, even though he's the backbone.
But he's done a bunch of personality changes, don't you find? You know, he went from a hero, and then after his wife died, that he kind of lost his mind. And then getting into Alexandria, he almost, you know, I think Alexander, when they first got in there, and he just became extremely, he became, you know, an a-hole. He became an absolute a-hole. And, like, I actually started to dislike Rick quite a bit when he first got into Alexandria. You know, I think it was episode 515, where Michonne had to, like, punch him in the side of the head in the last 2 seconds of the show. Do you not remember that?
I think so.
Yeah, he's about to shoot, what's his name? Jess's husband. He's about to shoot, and then Michonne comes and, like, punches him in the side of the head, and then he's, like, tied up. You know, there was a minute where he had to be taken
down. Kind of taken down.
But now he's, like, he's come back around. You know, him and Michonne have a nice relationship going on, which was surprising to everybody, but I think that's, I don't know. I'm like, okay, well, that's cool. That's okay.
I think at that point, I was like, when you see his son kind of almost walk in, it's like, dude, it's the zombie apocalypse. You got to find some sort of hookup. Even now, you're kind of finding a hookup yourself. Go at it, you know?
Yeah.
Take what you can get.
Yeah.
But that... Some minor characters seem to have taken the bucket this past season. Do you think they could have pulled that off with us to have a minor character?
Well, definitely. I would say the most minor character who was in that group of people would probably be Aaron.
Aaron's the nerdy, awkward one, right?
Aaron was the one who was the scout who went and found them and brought them to Alexandria.
I'm thinking it might be that nerdy, kind of awkward guy as well, too, because he handed over the bullet recipe. He's been kind of stepping up as the main character. You want?
Oh, you mean Eugene?
Eugene.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. I mean,
it could be almost anyone.
It could be almost anyone. But I think for them to really, I think they're going to put a punch in everyone's face.
How many fans do you see that, even though it might be, let's say, they take out Carol, and half the fan, you know, fandoms, you're a guest at Walk of Soccer, you're a guest here, you hear the fans, I think it might be Rick, I think it might be Eugene, I think it might be Daryl. Long shot, but, you know, but at the end, when next season starts, let's say it's Carol. I knew all along. Do you see that a lot?
I mean, yes. I would say I haven't been to, like, a Walker Stalker or a Comic-Con. Well, actually, I'm lying about that. So when Glenn was underneath the dumpster, that whole thing ensued, where everybody was like, is Glenn dead or not? So, yes, there's a lot of people who come back, and there's a lot of theories that are discussed at these events. A lot of theories. And sometimes, you know, you're talking to a person for 10 or 15 minutes about what is it's going to happen, or what it is they thought was going to happen, and what they thought it was that should have been done. But
Speaking of shows, what was your first show experience being in touch with the fans and so forth?
It was the Walker Stalker that happened Halloween in Atlanta last year. So that was my first one. And pretty crazy. I will say, because Francine is a minor character, you know, I didn't have as much as a turnout as you know, the main people. But it was still great to, like, you know, to communicate with, you know, like, fans, and I communicate on a very, like, one-to-one level with everybody. You know, I have conversations with them, as opposed to the other people who don't have time. You know, all the other people have time for is just to sign the autograph and just, like, you know, get people in and out of line. So it's very cool. I would say what I like the most, though, about these large conventions is actually hanging out with the other people who are working the convention. You know, my celebrity managers, the people, you know, the people who run the Fan Fest and the Walker Stalker Con. Those are my favorite people. I consider these people my best friends now. You know, the other people I get to meet, you know. I got to share a traveling fan with Robert Englund at the last one I was at. Robert Englund talked my ear off for like 15 minutes about Penny Dreadful and all this kind of, you know. So it's these other people that I'm meeting that's what blows.
He's one of the major celebrities I still like to meet because of he was a guest on Mad TV many, many years ago. I still want to meet him and go, how many people have come up to you and said, I liked you in V. Because he's one of those who's most recognized for Freddy and so forth. But we're here to talk about you. Have you done other stuff that other than the new CW show and Walking Dead?
Other than TV and film gigs, not just yet. I would say that most of my career has been in theater. So I think I might actually be returning to more theatrical events within the next year. Just because I miss it. It's a completely different vibe, a completely different art form, and I miss it quite a bit. So I think I'll be returning to do some theater within the Northeast.
To take a break and
kind of recenter, find my roots again, you know? Yeah, I would say, and to me, like, my TV work hasn't been consistent, unfortunately. So, and I'm starting to just miss my work. So, probably going to go back.
From what I hear, a lot of people who work in the theater, it's a great way to hone their craft and so forth. Do you find that too as well?
I mean, yes, but I would say it's just completely different. You know, you have a storyline that has, you know the beginning of the end of every single one. And I would say that, to me, it's just as professional as anything else. You know, I think if you go to, like, Los Angeles, a lot of people do theater, but only because they're trying to get more, you know, more face time within the film and TV industry. But I think it's its own business. It's completely own business. You go to Chicago and you go to New York and there are certain actors who have no interest in doing television or film. No interest, you know.
If a role came off across your desk that might interest you, would you do like a major movie or?
Oh, of course, absolutely. You know, if it was offered to me, of course. I mean, of course, I'd have to read the script and see who I'd be working with. But of course, but it's more of a thing where. You know, the consistency with the work is a hard thing to come by within TV and film, as opposed to theater where, you know, you could start, you know, a theater show and do it for an entire year consistently.
Even though I've never done a theater performance, I hear it can be a little bit tough because it's the same thing day in, it gets a little bit tiresome some people.
I could say that sometimes it can get monotonous, yes, but at the same time, the nice thing about theater is that you get the opportunity to do something different with it every single night, you know, and it's never, you'll never do the performance the same way because it's live. You'll never do it the same way at any two performances.
Well, I'm willing to say you can't really be a part of Hairspray and come out on stage and go, Oklahoma, you know.
But also, you
can get in trouble.
Well, I mean, one, I don't do musicals. Musicals might be a little different, but like within you know, straight theater, what happens is that you're reacting off of the audience that you have. And especially, let's say you're doing comedy. Let's say you're doing, like, Neil Simon, right? You do it one night, and people are laughing every 5 minutes. And then you do it the second night, and for some reason, nobody is laughing at all. Somehow that will start to affect that the way that you're, you know, the way you're performing, the way you're reacting, you know, the way that you and your other actor friends are on stage. Sometimes you and the other actor on stage, even though you're saying the lines, you're communicating to one another in some sort of a strange way, like, you know, hey, we need to do something here. Or then sometimes you have a person who misses
especially
a line.
Especially if it's a comedy.
It, you know, yeah. And so
you begin the aspect, is my timing off?
And then, like, you know, this whole thing starts, and because it's live, it's just, and you can't stop, you know. It's not like film or TV where you're like, oh, sorry, cut, let me do that again. You know, I mean, it's not that you have like a million takes to do. You don't have that in TV or film. You know, sometimes the most you get is three. So if you don't get it right the first time, you know, you're not doing your job right. But the same, you know, simultaneously, theater, you don't have that option whatsoever. If you don't do it right the first time, then you've just ruined the entire thing for everybody. So.
Well, looks like the con's trying to get a little bit started up. I'll let you be and have fun with the guests. It's nice speaking to you, and we hope to catch you on the CW this fall, or is it this summer?
It's this summer. I'm not sure it'll... I'm not entirely sure when it is.
Well, either way, we'll keep it on CW, and we'll probably review it on our show when it comes through. So, again, thank you for being on the show, and nice meeting you.
You too.
Welcome back, everyone. That was our interview and conversation with Jeremy Ambler. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have any comments in regards to our conversation with Jeremy or Dahlia or what have you, please email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com or leave a comment on the pinned post on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/TheLoneCoatMafiaPodcast. Now, we also have, if Facebook ain't your thing, or are leaving a comment on wherever this is posted up, or our main site, which is TheLoneCoatMafia.podbean.com. If you don't want to do that, or email us, you can also tweet at us at LoneCoatMafia, or send us a DM on Instagram, which is our handle there is LoneCoatMafia. We do ask you to kind of follow us on social media, which, again, our Facebook page, hit that like button on Facebook. Again, our site is facebook.com/TheLoneCoatMafiaPodcast. Hit the follow button on Twitter and Instagram, which is, again, our handle there is the same on both, which is LoneCoatMafia. Now, because of, we're going to go to talk about YouTube real quick, and the whole aspect on YouTube is that we just post, as of this recording this episode, we post up 3 new videos, actual videos instead of kind of a static thing, type of ordeal, and we understand as a show that in the past couple months that posts have been kind of sporadic in regards to this episode. What I might do is maybe record some game footage, whether it be Halo, Borderlands, or what have you, because we got some new games on our Xbox One, and it's easy for us to fire up OBS and record that way. And yes, I know it sounds confusing because, like, how are you recording things through OBS when you have an Xbox One? But the fun thing is, with having the laptop, I'm able to stream what's playing on my console onto my desktop. Therefore, I'm able to capture game footage that way. So what I might do is kind of overlay the podcast with game footage, kind of do things that way, how some YouTubers, whether it be like Leafy or, you know, Scrubs or something like that, they post up, you know, like video game footage and a conversation with that sort of ordeal, with video game footage playing in the background while they're talking. So who knows? I might do something like that as well. In regards to getting some of the newer episodes posted up. Like I said, with YouTube, we've had issues in the past with scammers trying to scam us into a conversation which would lead us into us losing our channel, and I didn't want that, so I kind of turned off postings from our hosting site to kind of prevent that, and not to mention a lot of the posts that we were told would be posted up did not always get posted up. But so we might do things that way. That way you have video game footage and other things to see with the episode. So we might do something like that. Or I might just sit a camera in front of, on a tripod, put it outside, and get footage that way, random footage that way. There's something playing in the background, or playing, or captured, so you could all watch it. Now, that being said, what else? With YouTube, granted, stuff hasn't been posted up. I just explained that. If you want to subscribe to us on YouTube, just head to YouTube, type in Longcoat Mafia Podcast in the search bar. We're the first and only channel that comes up in regards to everything. And I do suggest you subscribe to us on YouTube because, well, for the most part, when we post up videos, that's the main place that we would do it, meaning that we do a lot of exclusive Facebook videos, like the 3 we just posted up. They're exclusives. I'm not going to post them up to Facebook, even though I could and should, but I won't, because YouTube at times is the better place. Even though on YouTube, Facebook, they get played more, so I'll have to see. But if you want me to post more on Facebook in regards to videos, please let us know in the comments down below, and so forth and so on, and we might adjust things. as per other social media. We have been streaming a lot on Twitch. So we have a lot of stuff on Twitch for you to kind of as a back catalog in regards to what to watch. And I know I've been lacking in regards to what stuff has been, you know, letting you all know that we've been streaming on Twitch. But the thing is, somehow in regards to Twitter and YouTube and everything else, our posts are not going out for some ungodly reason. So whether we're kind of shadow, I don't want to say we're shadow banned, but with everything going on, I could understand why our stuff is not going out. But I do ask all of you, if you're listening to this episode, go onto our social media, whether it's Twitter, or Facebook, wherever this show is being promoted, and to like it and to share it, because that's the only way we're going to get out. And same thing with our YouTube stuff. If you're a subscriber on our channel, and you watch and like our videos, please copy the link and share it to your social media. Please, we need the word to get out in some way, shape, or form in regards to everything. We also have a Mixer .com channel as well. Let me just say this. Our Twitch channel is Long Coat Mafia Pod, I think it is. Either way, the links are on our main website when I get done telling you about Mixer. Our Mixer channel is mixer.com/LCMP. Probably when we get done with Borderlands, we'll hop over to Mixer and start streaming some Halo again. So it's been a while since we played Halo. We're probably very rusty in regards to that. Now, again, all our links are on our main page, which is thelonecoatmafia.podbean.com. And here's the thing. If you're a new listener that stumbled upon this in some way, shape, or form, if you want to listen to us on your desktop or laptop computer, you can listen to us in a number of ways. First is our main site, which is thelonecoatmafia.podbean.com, and it has all our episodes, including the original posting of the interviews that we did back in 2016. Maybe I'll put a link to that original episode down below. You can listen to all our episodes, stream them, or you could download them and listen to them in your player of choice, whatever that might be, because I know some of you out there don't like iTunes, or you don't like the Windows Media Player sort of thing, so you're able to do that. We are available on iTunes, if you do like iTunes. We are available on Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and I think one or two others that might catch us on your desktop. I'm not sure what they are. But again, our main website, iTunes, and Spotify, the main three. I do recommend you bookmark our main site just in case iTunes or Spotify gets a little finicky. But if you prefer to listen to us on the go, because I do understand that a lot of you like to listen to podcasts on the move, especially with all of us getting back to work and or what have you, and traveling. So therefore, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, and a few places where podcasts are found, including the Podbean app, which I do recommend because it allows you to go all the way back to the beginning of our show and listen to all the cringeworthy bull crap that we put up. Not saying what we put up was cringe bull crap, but still, it was cringeworthy. So we do have a few others, please. Especially if you visit our main website, you'll need the on a mobile device, you'll need the Podbean app to get our stuff. So either way, I hope you all enjoyed this episode. And again, here's the cool thing. Before I go, we have a great episode coming up this week that we'll be recording on Thursday. Hopefully, cross your fingers, ladies and gentlemen, and folks out there. Sasha is coming back to discuss a lot of things. And plus, well, if Skype allows us to record properly and have a third person part of the call, we will have a third guest on the show as we kind of start this anniversary month, which ends on the actual anniversary, official launch date of this show. So all of you, take care, stay tuned. We have a lot of exciting content out there for you, ready to go. So take care, stay tuned next week. I'm sure you'll love the conversation and humor that's going to happen next week. So either way, stay tuned, take care. I'm the Reverend Godfather, and I am out.
You've been listening to the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, the internet's most hated and mafia-themed geek podcast.